So this morning, the message is going to be about quality time with your children. This morning, we have a special service in that Adam and Brittany will be presenting their son, Bennett Anthony, to the Lord. This is a wonderful desire on the part of the parents. They have chosen to present their child to the Lord. And this is a very commendable and wise choice. Only Jesus could properly care for their son. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 states, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." How does a parent train the child in the ways of the Lord? Well, if you could turn to Deuteronomy, it's in the Old Testament, the fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1 to 14 about this subject. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. And if you hit the book of Joshua, you went too far. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 14. I'll give you a minute to get there. Beginning at verse 1. "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you," this is Moses speaking, "that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied, then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. You shall fear the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who surround you." Moses gave commandment from the Lord to the people of Israel. The word of the Lord is to be in our hearts. Psalm 119, verse 11 states, "Your word have I treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you." And the Lord commanded fathers and mothers to diligently teach God, the word of God, to their children. And this is a commandment from the Lord, not just a good idea. This is a commandment from the Lord. Time and effort will be required to teach God's word to your children, but it will be worth every minute of your time and your effort, especially considering the condition of the world in which we are living. If we do not put the word of the Lord in our children, they will be vulnerable to the worldly, ungodly doctrines. Children are a gift from the Lord, which is also biblical. You don't have to turn to it, but I'm going to read to you Psalm 127, verse 3, which states, "Behold, children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." Therefore, you want to put the word of the Lord in them. Parents are to have the word of the Lord in their hearts so that they can teach it and pass it on to their children. Parents can't give or pass on what they don't have. King David said, "Your word have I treasured," not that I have in my heart, "I have treasured in my heart." And verse 7 of Deuteronomy chapter 6 states, "You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." If you are outdoors or traveling and see a beautiful aspect of God's creation, acknowledge the Lord with your children. You can teach your children about God and uplift Him at any time. Let them know who the Lord is and how much He means in your life. The verse also says, "And when you lie down, pray with your children before they go to bed. Pray with them." Many will probably already do this. Now, verse 8 mentions frontals. It states, "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead." What are frontals? Frontals are frontlets. They are forehead bands containing verses of Scripture. If the Word of God is to be as frontals or as a sign on your hand, it means that you have to know it well. Anything you teach, you have to know well. Brittany is a teacher. I'm sure she knows her subject matter well before she teaches it. Parents need to know the Word of God well if you're going to teach it to your children. You can't give to your children what you don't have. Verse 9 says, "You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." This is not an exaggerated command. How many times have Christian parents taped a memory verse for their children on the wall or on the refrigerator? I can remember seeing it on my mother's refrigerator. Little quips about the Lord. This is spending quality time with your children. If you could turn with me to Mark chapter 10 and verses 13 to 16. Don't worry, Ben, I won't be too long. Mark chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 13 to 16. Now, let's see how Jesus reacted to children. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 13. "And they brought young children to him," to Jesus, "that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said to them, 'Suffer or permit the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein.' And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and bless them." So Jesus says, "Permit the little children to come to me and forbid them not." And Jesus took up the children in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Jesus really loved them. He took them in his arms and he blessed them. Now, let's just come down to Main Street for a minute. When you read these verses, I like going in between the lines. People probably used rags for diapers that day, maybe traveled a long distance. Maybe the rags were wet. Maybe the diaper wasn't clean. You know, diaper could have been wet. Jesus didn't care. He loved the children. He picked them up anyway. There were no barriers to the love of God. Jesus loved them so much, he picked them up, put them in his arms, and he hugged them and blessed them anyway. Considering how much Jesus loves your children, fill your children with the teachings of Jesus. Let your children know who Jesus is. Parents need to instill the Lord into their children. Educational facilities and the public school system certainly will not teach your children about the Lord. These institutions are instilling their own anti-God doctrine into their students. Some politicians, and I'm not going to get political, but some politicians will go as far as to make you believe that your children should accept current-day philosophy and teachings. But your children don't belong to the government. They belong to you, the parents. God makes the child, and God gives him or her to the parents, not to the government. Therefore, the parents need to put the Lord and his teachings into the child. Instill the doctrine and the teachings of Jesus Christ into them. This will be a solid foundation, and it will last their entire lives. What about the solid foundation? Another reading, you could turn to it if you want. If not, I'll read it to you. Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to read verses 24 to 27. I'll give you a minute in case you want to turn to it. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. It's part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house. Yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The only true solid rock in life is Jesus Christ. If your children genuinely have the Lord and his teachings in their lives, their hearts, they will be able to stand against the ungodly teachings and doctrines of this world. They will not be swayed or confused or feel or fall to these ungodly doctrines and philosophies that they will be exposed to. Their house will stand because it is founded on the solid rock that is Jesus Christ. Fill your children with the knowledge of the Lord. When you go shopping for your children, whether birthday or Christmas or some other event, you always buy the best gift that you could afford. Well, the best gift that you could ever give your children is Jesus Christ. That's just not a nice saying. That is absolute fact. That is truth. And that gift will never wear out. It will never go away. The best gift you can give your children is Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul, their soul. There's a saying, the only one who can satisfy the human heart is the one who made it. The human heart seems to have a void in it. The only one who can truly fill this void is Jesus. Let your children know this before something else fills that void. Teach them at a young age to give their lives to Jesus and to accept him into their lives. Parents need to spend quality time with their children that should include quality time with the Lord. King David had a beautiful communion with the Lord. And you could see it in the Psalms, Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. In other words, when David fell asleep, he was meditating on the Lord. Psalm 63, verse 6. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Maybe David felt as though he could not get enough of God. And that's the way it should be. I hope and pray that we all feel as though we cannot get enough of the Lord. David's closeness to the Lord is shown in Psalm 63, verse 8. My soul clings to you. Parents, you want your children to cling to the Lord, and this is not an exaggeration. You want your children to cling to the Lord, especially in this evil, mixed-up world in which we live. Let your children have the testimony of a wonderful communion with the Lord. What about Mary of Bethany? I have one more reading over here. I believe it's my last one. I'll read it to you. I'm going to read in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now we see Mary of Bethany. Now as they were traveling along, he, Jesus, entered the village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to come and help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Mary was spending time listening to Jesus' words. Now, she did not neglect her household activities. You read in between the lines, she wasn't neglecting Martha, but when Jesus came, she stopped to listen to him and to learn from him. She made time and room for Jesus in her daily activities in her life. In your activities, have family time with Jesus. It's so important. Make this a priority. There is so much we could learn about Jesus, and you can never stop learning about him. He's infinite. Jesus said that time spent with him is needed. Not just a good idea, but needed. Make sure that as a family, you spend quality time with Jesus. Don't wait till something happens and then spend quality time with the Lord. If your family spends quality time with Jesus, you may avoid a crisis or a tragedy. What about quality time with Jesus? That won't be much longer. But just want to touch on the subject. What better quality time could you spend with your children other than teaching them about Jesus and letting them know that he is their best friend? There's an old saying, tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are. Our friends rub off on us, don't they? We want Jesus to rub off on our children. The more you spend quality time with Jesus, the more you will become like him, and it will be evident in your life. Let your children have the testimony of possessing and confessing the reality of Jesus Christ. Possessing and confessing the reality of Jesus Christ, being filled with him. Pray that they will come to know Jesus and his infinite, awesome, magnificent, and more than amazing personality. Let them know that he is undefined and indescribable. Once you get to know Jesus, how could you even describe? He's more than awesome, more than wonderful, more than amazing, beyond any description, beyond any dictionary, any language. If you haven't met him yet, please meet him, meet him. You know what you're missing out on. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Only Jesus could properly love, care for, be a 24/7 best friend, protect, guide, and take your children through life and straight into heaven. What about the touch of the Master's hand, Jesus' hand? This morning we're going to present very shortly. We will present Bennett to the Lord, who's being a very good baby over there. What happened when Jesus' hands touched someone? This is an amazing subject. What happened when Jesus' hands touched someone? Jesus touched outcasts and contagious lepers. He didn't have to touch them. He could have healed with the power of his word. But Jesus, knowing that lepers were outcasts and contagious, he compassionately touched them and healed them. They experienced the touch of the Master's hand. Jesus raised the dead with his hands. Talk about power. Jesus raised the dead with his hands. Mark 5:41 tells us that Jesus took the hand of Jairus' daughter and brought her back to life again. That's powerful. Again, it was the touch of the Master's hand. Whatever Jesus touched was never the same again. In our day, how many lives has Jesus touched that will never be the same again? Lives will never be the same again because they were touched by the Master's hand. How can the touch of the Master's hand be described? Well, I'll read it to you in the poem. The title of the poem is called The Touch of the Master's Hand. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth its while to waste much time on the old violin, but held it up with a smile. What am I bidding, good folks, he cried. Who will start the bidding for me? A dollar, then two, only two. $2, and who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three. But no. From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow, then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a loud voice that was quiet and low, said, what am I bid for the old violin? And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, and who'll make it two? $2,000, who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried. We do not quite understand what changed its worth. Swift came the reply, the touch of the Master's hand. And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He is going once and going twice. He is going and almost gone. But the Master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the Master's hand. Whatever was touched by the Master's hand was never the same again. There is infinite love, kindness, compassion, mercy, healing power, the skill of the Creator, the power of the Almighty God in the touch of the Master's hand. So at this point, what we're going to do, I'm going to ask